throwing off the old you and putting on a new identity. That's the message today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
If you're already like Jesus, 100% walking that way, then you're free to leave at this moment because you don't need my message anymore. For the rest of us, let's stay and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling until we look like the image of Jesus in our life.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. For believers, our identity is found in Christ. And today, as we conclude this three-part message on rethinking your identity, we'll come to understand that just because we still sin, it doesn't mean Christ will leave us. We are rooted in Him, but there are things we can do to throw off our old natures and embrace the joy of living in the image of our Creator. We're in the book of Colossians now, and here's Mark Jobe.
We live in a culture that, by and large, says, I have a physical appetite. If I'm hungry, I eat. I have a sexual appetite. If I'm hungry sexually, I go out and satisfy my sexual appetite. We have taken morality out of sexuality and made sexual involvement amoral, which means there's no morality attached to it. You may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend in this place, and we have a lot of people that come to Christ, and by and large, we're reaching people from our culture. And so I would assume that we have people in this auditorium right here today that you're started to come to church, but you live with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you've been having sex for years, or you may have two or three or four children, and you've been together for 15 years, and you say, Pastor, what does that mean for me? It means that if you've been together for 15 years and have four children and are not married, that you are living in sexual immorality. Whoa, did it get quiet in the house of God. You say, Pastor, well, what do I do about that? Well, what you do about it is you marry the woman. Four kids later, what are you waiting for? You see, that's the way it works. What Scripture's telling us is that that used to be the way you lived. And by the way, I know that there's someone in here, you're 24 years old, and you're like rolling your eyes in your mind thinking, are you serious, Pastor? I'm 23 years old, and you're telling me that I can't have sex or be involved sexually until I'm married? Yeah, I didn't write it, I just preach it. And you're saying, hold on. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And you're telling me, hold on, I'm not going to be ready to get married till I'm 30. I mean, I got to finish my job, get a career, get my car, get an apartment. Are you seriously telling me, Pastor, that for 7 years, I'm not going to be able to have sex of any kind? Is that what you're telling me? Yes. So he says, that's what you used to do. Sexual immorality. Impurity has to do with anything in between. It has to do with pornography. It has to do with satisfying your sexual urges outside of the confines of marriage. Lust has to do with looking at things that you can't have, but sexually desiring those things that you can't have. In other words, any kind of sexual involvement that you have outside of marriage is under the category of sexual impurity or lust or evil desires, or he puts it in the category of greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Because of what? Because of our out of control sexual gratification, he says the wrath of God is coming. Much of our society has this image of God that we've created into our own image. And some of you have an image of God like he's this big old jolly Santa Claus, ho, 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 that's just going to look at whatever you do and say, oh, don't worry about it. We're all humans. It's no big deal. I'm full of love and mercy and compassion, and we all mess up. Ho, ho, ho. Come here and give me a big hug on my big belly. That's Santa Claus. not the sovereign God of the universe. God is love, and He is mercy, and He is compassionate. But the Bible tells us that the wrath of God would consume humanity because of His holiness. In fact, it tells us in the end that the wrath of God is coming. In Romans, it says the wrath of God, this incredible, ferocious wrath, comes upon the children of disobedience. In other words, we have violated the most holy God with our sin, and we deserve the wrath of God, the punishment of God, this powerful, consuming fire to be unleashed upon us because of our sin against the holy God. It tells us, however, that God restrains His wrath because of His mercy and His compassion, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you remember when the people of Israel were being set free from Egypt? The last of the seven plagues was the angel of death went through the streets of Egypt and took the life of the firstborn of every Egyptian family. Do you remember that story? It was the wrath, this angel of death. And so God spoke to the people of Israel, and He said, if you want to escape the wrath, this death, there's only one thing that you do. You need to take a lamb that's without spot. Slaughter that lamb, and with the blood of that lamb, you need to spray the doorpost of your house with the blood of that lamb. And when the angel of death goes through the streets, when he sees the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the house, he will pass over that household, and you will not be subject to death like the rest. The Israelites to this day, people in Judaism celebrate the Passover, where the angel of death passes over because the blood on the doorpost. Jesus, when he celebrated the Last Supper, brought in the equivalent of the Last Supper to Christians. We don't celebrate the Passover, but we celebrate the Last Supper. The Last Supper says Jesus' blood and body were broken for me. It's because of his blood shed upon my life that the wrath of God does not consume me. Because when the wrath of God can consume me, he says he sees the righteousness of God imputed to me, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ that's paid the price. And so when God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus in me when I've accepted him. That is the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who pays the sins of humanity. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, I love this verse. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. What ways? Immorality, impurity, lust, greed. That used to be you. You were in the middle of it. That was your life. That's who you were. But listen, that's not who you are today. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a believer and I still sleep with my boyfriend. Listen, because you're not living out your identity. You brought an old habit into a new life, and that is not you. You are a son of the Most High God. You're not living out who you are, because if you started to live in who you are, you would start letting go of your old life and say, that is no longer who I am. It's what I was. It's not who I am. I need to put to death the ways of my old life and embrace my new life in Jesus Christ. Some of us need to do that. Amen? You need to kill the old nature, is what the Word of God says. Put to death. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. I've used this before. Let me say it again. Putting off the old nature is like marrying your wife, but keeping pictures of your old girlfriend in your wallet. How many of you wives would be okay with that? I love you, honey. Oh, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm just keeping the picture of my old girlfriend in my pocket. Just, I don't know. For old memory's sake. Seriously? And let me tell you, how do you put to death the deeds of the old flesh? Because some of you are here and believers, and you're struggling with your old life. You're not living your new life in Jesus. You're new. You're saved. You're born again. The Spirit's inside of you, but you're living under conviction. Nothing more miserable than a believer that's still living the old life but following God because they're constantly under conviction of the Holy Spirit, not able to have the full joy of their salvation. David said in Psalms 51, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Some of you are believers but have no joy because it's been stolen by the fact that your behaviors are the behaviors of the old life, and you constantly feel conviction by the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of you come to church and you feel conviction. And I've seen some people, you either have one or two choices. When you come to church and you feel conviction, you finally repent and say, "God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm going to surrender." Or you stop coming around because you don't want to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There are people today that instead of being in the house of God are avoiding the house of God because they don't want to be under the conviction that they feel when they come to the house of God. Listen, if you're a believer and you don't feel conviction anymore, then that's a scary thing. If you're a believer and you still feel conviction, then praise be to God that you feel nasty about the way you're living. It means there's still a degree of sensitivity in your heart driving you to the foot of the cross.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Jobe. We'll return to the second half of today's message in just a moment. But first, I want to talk to you about a book that invites you to seek adventure on the road, the narrow road, just like Jesus did. It's called The Road Trip That Changed the World, and it's written by Mark Sayers. It was written to help you challenge the noncommittal view of today's culture and to help change the way you see the world around your church and, most importantly, how you see yourself. Journey towards home via the signpost of the cross when you get your copy of The Road Trip That Changed the World. It's our Bold Step gift right now, and it can be yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
Again, the title is The Road Trip That Changed the World. It's a great book from Moody Publishers, and you can have it by giving a gift to Bold Steps Radio, a gift of any size. Just do that online at boldstepsradio.org or give us a call at 844-615-7363, 844-615-7363. Well, let's go back to the message now, the second half with Mark Jobe. Mark wraps up the conclusion to rethinking our identity.
Number 3. Paul goes on to say, your new identity compels you to shed the relational manipulation of the old self. Verse 8. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. First of all, Paul talks about sexual sins, which is behavioral sins. And now he talks to us about attitude sins. Some of us have cleaned up the outside really well. You're no longer doing things that you know are obviously wrong on the outside. But when you open up your heart, there's all kinds of gook and garbage on the inside. It's more acceptable. It's harder to see. It's like when you find out that relatives are coming over at the last minute. They're going to be here in 15 minutes. You run through the house. You're throwing everything in the closet and in the pantries, in the drawers. You have pajamas in your kitchen drawers because you're stuffing everything wherever it will go. And it looks good from the outside to the neighbor that walks in. But if you do a thorough investigation of the house and you start opening up the drawers, it's all full of clutter. Some of us have cleaned up the outside of our life from the behaviors, but you open up Well, you open up the inside, and we got wrath, and bitterness, and envy, rage. It's the stuff of the heart that God wants to deal with. And so the Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm not just talking about the external things, but you also need to rid yourself of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Most scholars believe that this filthy language is not talking dirty, but in the context, it's talking abusively to other people, belittling people. And do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices. All of these things have in common that they are attitudes that we have that we use to manipulate people and get our way. Do you know why you lie? To get your way. Do you know why you blow up in anger? To get your way. Do you know why you throw a fit? Hit doors and throw pans around? Because you want to get people's attention and get your way. It's a form of manipulating our relationships. And Paul says that's the old you. It's not the new you. You maybe manipulated people in the past that way, but God has asked you to take off the old self with its practices and to put on the new self that's being changed, transformed from place to place. You know, I heard there's a custom among some African churches. When they get baptized, they take their old clothes and they burn them. And then they put a new white robe on and show their new position in Christ. I like it. They take off their old clothes when they're going to get baptized and put on a new robe, and they burn their old clothes. And it's symbolic of this old stuff is gone. I'm never going back to it. And I put on a new robe, and this is who I am in Christ. And this is how I'm going to live in God. Number four, and lastly, your new identity leads you to put on your new self, being continually renewed in his image. Verse 10. You've taken off, he says in verse 9. So you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self. I love that image. This is who I am today. I'm not who I was yesterday. People see you. Some of you have walked in this church and you've seen people that you knew from 10 years ago. And you say, oh, look at that. There's Druggy. Some of you had some pretty interesting nicknames. There's Killer. You know, that's who you were. That was your old identity. And I love the fact that when someone comes in and they maybe their name was Druggy in the past, you say, hey, Druggy, how you doing? Hi, my name is Brother John now. I love that. That's who I was before, but I got a new name, a new identity. That's not who I am anymore. That's the old me. I've taken off the old self, and I put on the new self. And this is what he says, listen, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. You and I have put on the new self. And it's something that you have to put on. You say, hey, I've come to Christ, so I'm going to put on the new self. It makes me look a little bit different, but it's the new self. And it doesn't change by just putting on the new self. Now that I'm in the new self, I have to be changed day after day after day after day. It doesn't end at the day of your salvation when you put on the new self. It's only the beginning of your transformation. Some of you came to Christ and it's like you stopped. No. That's just the beginning of renewal. Look what it says. And you put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. That word being renewed is the word to renovate. It means to tear out the old and to put something new in. That word knowledge in the Greek is the word unto perfection of knowledge. You know what it's telling us? That you and I were made in the image of God. But when we fell far from the image of God. And now God is renewing us day after day so that we will look more like the image of our Father. What does our Father look like here on earth? Yeah. The visible manifestation of the image of our Father is His first begotten Son called Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. You and I are being renewed into the image of Jesus day after day. I'm not talking about the physical image of Jesus because we don't know what Jesus looked like. It's not about how you look on the outside. It's about who you are on the inside. You're being transformed day by day by day into the image of Jesus, the Son of God, to have His compassion and His mercy and His heart and His surrender to the Father. You have not arrived. Just because you pay your tithes, don't sleep with your girlfriend, don't lie and walk little old ladies across the street. You have not arrived until you are like Jesus. If you're already like Jesus, 100% walking that way, then you're free to leave at this moment because you don't need my message anymore. For the rest of us, let's stay and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling until we look like the image of Jesus in our life. And I close with this. In verse 11, he says, "Here, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." In essence, he's saying it doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, what color you are, what social status, we are all being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you're 15 here or 84. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican or Puerto Rican. That just determines whether you like arroz con gandules or carne asada. Yeah, but it doesn't determine whether you're black or white, whether you're Asian, whether you grew up on the South Side or North Side, whether you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan. We are all being transformed into the beautiful, powerful, manifest presence of Jesus if we allow it to occur. That's our goal. That's who we've called to become.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll find all of our messages online, so if you've missed any part of Mark's bold and authentic teaching this week, or if you'd like to hear one of Mark's previous sermon series, just go to boldstepsradio.org to catch up. Well, Mark, as we close today, may I read an important passage from Colossians 3 that I think defines what you've been focusing on these past 3 days. Here's what the Word of God says. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died to this life, and your real life is now hidden with Christ in God."
Yeah, that's such a powerful passage. And when it says you died to this life, it doesn't mean that we've literally died, but you've died to who you were. Mm-hmm. And now your life is hidden in Christ. There's a new life that you have in Christ. And so I want to remind you, just as you listen to this, you are not who you were. You're not fully who God has called you to become, but you are a new creation in Christ.
All right. Thank you, Mark. That's a timely word for those struggling to fully grasp their spiritual identity. If you'd like to reach out and let us know you're listening, or if we can pray for you and your family, connect with us online at boldstepsradio.org or join us on Facebook. You'll find a community of believers who stand with us as we boldly proclaim the gospel in a way that everyone can understand. Just log on to your Facebook account and search for Bold Steps. You can also stand with us by committing to give a monthly gift to support this ministry. We've made signing up to become a Bold Partner quick and easy when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Or if you'd rather call us, that's fine. You can do that too. Speak to one of our team members when you call 844-615-7363. And if you're not ready to become a Bold Partner, but you would like to give a one-time donation, write to us. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Now, on behalf of Mark Jobe and all of your friends at Bold Steps, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow when Mark shows us how to see ourselves as God sees us. It's coming up on Friday, and you'll hear it right here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.